It's very good to see you. A couple things that are not in your bulletin, but I believe this is actually in your bulletin as a flyer. We're taking up a collection for our military people. We have 4 military people on the list that are connected with the church here. And so there's a list of things on the paper, and we're going to put them all together and mail them out. That will be good. Also, Easter is coming, if you haven't noticed, and this sheet will be on the bulletin board to sign up for your Easter flowers. All the information is there. And something I don't announce is in the bulletin every week. I don't normally announce it, but I'm going to today. Please keep our sick, our shut-ins, our bereaved in your thoughts and prayers. If you have someone on the prayer list, if you have someone on the prayer list or need somebody on the prayer list, keep Doris and Nada informed of whatever changes need to be made. And that way we can keep things as up-to-date as possible. Oh, here's something I'm really interested in. If you're interested in learning more about the congregational heritage, why the cross is draped in purple, or why we have extra candles on the altar, Liz Canfield is interested in putting together a 3 to 4 week teaching on congregationalism. And if you are interested in that, and I am, please contact Liz. The time will be ever conducive to the group. So if you're interested, grab hold of her, tell her you're interested so she can start making some plans for that. I think that is going to be really great. Also, Dave is planning our corned beef and cabbage dinner on the 20th. Tickets must be purchased in advance. They're $8. And the Gracewood Singers will be entertaining that day. And today's the last day to make a donation to, officially make a donation to Haiti. We're accepting checks yet today. Not that we won't accept checks at any given time. But a lot of money has been raised, $1,400 so far from this little congregation. I just think you have done a great job, just a great job. Yes. And there is a ton of Haiti information on the missions board out in the social hall. As you go right through the door, right to the right is the missions board. And there's just a ton of stuff there. The second Saturday supper is coming up. It's on the 13th, and so you can sign up to help for that. And Maggie's fundraiser. Wave your hand, Maggie. I tried to get her to do this, but she wouldn't do this. So the items are going to be here on the 20th, and you need the money by the 21st. Is that correct? Oh, items are going to be here on the 28th. So she needs your money first, by the 21st. So if you bought something from her, you don't get the money to her. If you didn't buy something from her, see her and buy something from her. There we go. Okay. That's right. There's an Easter basket sign up also on the bulletin, on the missions board in the fellowship hall. Because we give 2 families food for Easter. I believe that's everything. Let's enter into worship.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Oh, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with the voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. He chooses our inheritance for us. Sing praises to God. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. Sing praises to God. Sing praises, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted.
Thank you.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your wonderful gifts, especially the most indescribable gift, the gift of your Son, and forgiveness of our sins through him. Help us to show our gratitude by granting us loving and giving hearts. May all that we do give you honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The first reading today is one of Jesus' stories or parables. It is from Luke 16, verses 19 to 31. It's a parable that I didn't remember that well, and I really like it. I hope you do too. There was a certain rich man, Jesus said, who was splendidly clothed and lived each day in mirth and luxury. One day, Lazarus, a diseased beggar, was laid at his door. As he lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham in the place of the righteous dead. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went into hell. There in torment, he saw Lazarus in the far distance with Abraham. "Father Abraham," he shouted, "have some pity. Send Lazarus over here, if only to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am in anguish from these flames." But Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us, and anyone wanting to come to you from here is stopped at its edge, and no one over there can cross to us." Then the rich man said, "Oh, Father Abraham, then please send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, to warn them about this place of torment, lest they come here when they die." But Abraham said, "The scriptures have warned them again and again. Your brothers can read them any time they want to." The rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham, they won't bother to read them. But if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will turn away from their sins." But Abraham said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even though someone rises from the dead." May the Lord add his blessings to these words.
Morning. Did anybody watch the Olympics?
No.
No? They didn't watch the
Olympics? I saw my teacher showed me a very funny ski accident.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's all. But you didn't watch it?
I sort of watched it.
Watched a little bit. It was kind of odd times this year.
Listened to it on the radio.
Yeah. It was pretty good. You know, I didn't watch it all the time. I mean, there's only so much you can watch curling with, you know, the brushing that heavy weight and stuff. And we did have on one day the cross-country ski marathon. And after about an hour and a half, I thought, well, I'm going to do something else. Still don't know who won it. But one thing about the Olympics is it's always a spirit of friendly competition among nations, and it's supposed to be a time for bringing people together and healing. But I noticed a little bit after in this Olympics and in the paper, there were a lot of little negative comments, especially I was kind of sad to see among some of the American athletes who were kind of picking at the other athletes and saying they weren't as good or they had better luck, and some not nice comments, just a few, mostly very supportive. But it got me thinking about our lesson today. We're going to be studying Cain and Abel today, and I think you all kind of basically know that story. Well, I'm not going to spoil it for you. Okay. But the thing about Cain and Abel is it's a really true example how letting jealousy into our heart can really hurt us. Cain's going to do something because he's jealous, and it's going to impact his life forever. And he can't take it back. So his jealousy and then his acting out didn't hurt so much Abel as much as it damaged Cain. And I guess I wanted everyone to think today about how when we let jealousy into our hearts, how it hurts us. It doesn't hurt the person we're jealous of. They don't know. They don't care. It only hurts us. And so I want to urge you to take into account the words of that hymn today, or to anthem today that the choir did, about think of me. And when you have those negative feelings, if you just stop and think of God for a minute and remember that there's a reason maybe that you don't have, your parents don't have the brand new car, or that you can't afford to go to the movie that you want to go see, or you don't have things that other kids have, or you don't have their talent, which is one that really hurts sometimes, or their popularity. It's not about you. And if you let yourself be jealous of them and you let that stay with you all the time, it hurts you, okay? And that's a hard thing to think about, but it's a really important lesson. So I hope we can study Cain and Abel today and you'll understand a little better, okay? So we're going to have a short prayer and we're going to head on out the door, okay? Dear Lord, help us to remember that jealousy is a little green monster that we let into our hearts, and it destroys us. Remind us to think of you and keep you in our minds and our hearts, and there will be no room for that jealousy to poison us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good story that went along with that, Liz. And when I was 6 years old on my birthday, I shot my sister in the head with a bow and arrow. That's for later times. I started it now? Yeah. You have to come back again someday and we'll tell that story. Offering. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. And, of course, if we were doing this in color, that would be in red because Jesus said that. And we live in a culture where money is extremely, extremely important. The one with the most toys when we die wins. Not true. Actually, the one that has the most toys when we die is still dead. You know, nobody gets it. Well, he don't get to play or she don't get to play with the toys. Somebody else does. So in our lives, we're always sorting out important things, not important things. And sometimes culture tells us some things that are not as important as culture puts into our thinking as we grow up in our culture. Worshiping God, honoring God, giving unto God, serving God. Not only with our lives, but with our finances also. I invite you to worship God with your giving. Thank you.
Father, we do thank you. You are so good to us. Take such good care of us. Give us so much. We are blessed. We are blessed. And you give us this opportunity to give back to you a little bit of what you've given to us. And we joyfully give it to you, that you may bless your people who have given unto you, that the needs of the church can all be met, and there'll be such an abundance left over, we can spread your word throughout our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope you read some of these words while we're singing them. They're really good stuff. There's some good words in there. You know, you can sing without reading the words, you know. Yeah, you can. You can just I can type a whole page and have no clue what's on the page. I can just sit there and type. You know, get done with the page and have no idea what I just typed. You can do that with singing also. Sing the words. See, when we're praying, that when we're reading our prayers, pray the prayer. There's a difference between praying a read prayer and reading a read prayer, or singing a song and singing the song. That was free. That was just thrown in there. Doesn't cost you nothing. Mark chapter 12. Like it, don't like it, whatever. Mark chapter 12. Start reading at verse 41. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amounted to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." A story most of us know. During this Lenten season, we are looking at some things that happened between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. Things we don't get to look at very often. So, and I don't have nearly enough time to look at them all, so you're going to have to do some reading if you want to know what else went on during this time period.
You're going to have to do some reading on your own. But it's my assumption that Jesus was trying to impress certain things upon his disciples, and thus upon us, that were important. That's why these things happen. And so one day, they're at church, they're taking up the offering, and Jesus is going behind the usher saying, Oh, I heard something jingle. What was that? Something jingled in the plate? Okay. Well, some of you are nervous now. We already took up the offering. You're still nervous. Hey. Yeah, he's watching. Watching. But he's not watching to see how much. True story. I come up. I don't have to make up stories. Because some of the true stories I tell you are just so wild you think they're fantasy anyway. Okay, but at church they had the altar here in the front, offering plates on the front. Everybody came this way and went back that way to the seats and dropped off their money. That church, deacons, not we would do it with our trustees because we're congregationalists, were sitting there counting the money as they went back. If they didn't get enough, they did it again. And if they didn't get enough, see? So, thank God we go to the congregational church. We just take one offering on Sunday. Yeah. See, and there's a myth. The myth is, Jesus is watching us give, which he does, and he's impressed by the amount that we give. You know, so we're ushers are, you know, going along and saying, Eugene, not so fast. I'm just writing my check and it's really hard to get all those zeros in that little place. Okay. We accept checks like that, by the way. We do. I won't know that you gave one. I don't know who gives what. We are very careful around here who knows who gives what. And I don't care to know, actually. God knows. Linda knows. You know, I mean, somebody's got to put it in the computer. See? So, there are a couple people who know. I don't know. Jesus wasn't looking at how much. It says he began to observe how the people were putting money into the treasury. How? How do you put it in? Well, in the treasury, there's 13 horn-type containers. You go over and you put your money in. Clang, 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 clang. They probably didn't have paper money back then. Clang, clang. And so, you know, you come in, you have 3-4 servants carrying your offering that day and having them all put it in. Clang, clang, clang. How do you give your money? Or time? Or energies? How do you give? How do you give? That's what God's looking at. Not how much you give. I mean, the guy's got a gold driveway. He is not impressed because you write a check with lots of zeros. The trustees are impressed. They don't know, but they would be impressed. I would be impressed if I knew. But God's not impressed. How do we give? Joyfully? All right, it's Sunday. Get the offering. Don't forget the offering. Why do you give? Begrudgingly? Can't we just put a box out back somewhere? And why do I take up time in the service to do that? It's more important things. The choir could sing another number. Or not. How do you give? We was raising, well, this is a long time ago, $250 for a bicycle to go overseas for a missionary. And small church, smaller than this church, my church in Ionia. And the key giver, he thought he was the key giver anyway, was gone for a month. And we did the faith project anyway, even though he was going to be gone. And he actually talked to me about that. You know, if you wait, we'll be back. Well, that's no problem, you know. See, my thinking is, $250, God can come up with you, with or without you. That's my thinking. So he came back, comes into my office, says, okay, we're back now. How much money do you need to finish that, get that bicycle? I said, we bought two. We did, without him. See, that we, well, if I don't give, you know, if I miss my pledge, we don't want nobody missing any pledges. If I miss my pledge, Mayflower's going under. My theory is, if it's actually God's work, God's going to support it. Yes, he supports things through people. He does. I mean, I have yet to walk in here. I've been hanging around here for a couple of years. I've yet to walk in here and just found money laying on the floor, which I would presume that God sent to me anyway. All right, blessings. Thank you, Lord. Here to add for prayer. Blessings come most of the time through people. God allows us to give into his work through different things, like Haiti. We're raising money for Haiti. Mayflower Church, pay the electric bill. You don't think that's very spiritual until we walk into the middle of winter and the heat bill's not been paid and we have no heat. See, then all of a sudden it gets more spiritual. Giving doesn't really have to do with the money. It has to do with our heart condition. So Jesus sat down watching how they gave. How they give it. Pride, arrogance, humbly, joyfully. How do we give? Under compulsion, well, if I don't give, you know, then something bad will happen in my life. How do we give? That's what Jesus was looking for. And what did he find? So out of all the people that day, how many people were streaming through the treasury that day, dropping off their givings? Possibly hundreds. It's right before the Passover. Lots of people are in Jerusalem. Many rich people were giving large sums of money. What caught Jesus' attention? For which one of those people did he say, whoa, where's my disciples? Yo, Peter, come here. Come over here. What you doing over there yakking? Get over here. I got something important to tell you. What, Lord, what? See that widow? Yeah? She gave more than everybody else. Really? Wow, she don't look that rich. And then he explains. It's not how much you give. It's how much you have left over. All these rich people gave out of their surplus. This morning, Barb and I gave out of our surplus. We did not give all this morning. We didn't. I still have a set of golf clubs that I plan on using shortly. We can get a little cooperation from the weather. Say, I didn't give all my toys. I didn't give all my cash. I have more cash on me. So we get the offering plate, yeah. And Barb has the credit cards. I mean, you know, yeah. I have more money on me. I didn't give all. I didn't come anywhere close to giving all. I gave a small portion of what God gave me this week. That's all I gave. God's not looking for all. God's looking for a joyful, cheerful, wanting to give heart. Wanting to give. Yeah. We get two dinners this month. Yeah. Say, I'm signing up for both of them. Say, I didn't say I was. This is an illustration. Say, no. Say, yes, we have a dinner theater going on. Yes, we have this going on. We have another offering going on. We have Haiti. We have different things, the Easter baskets. We're going to have more in the future. See, some project you may not like. I don't want to do that. Don't do it. See, let the people get involved that want to do that. Yeah. Find something you. See what tugs on your heartstrings. What do you want to give back to God? 9 o'clock peeling, 9 o'clock Saturday mornings, once a month, peeling potatoes. Now, how spiritual is that? I want to do something for the kingdom of God. Well, we've got to use somebody to peel potatoes. What? Okay. But you know, more than one time, as I'm out doing my floating thing around talking to people, more than one time, I've had a chance to pray with people. I've had a chance to talk to God with people about God. I've had a couple of very serious conversations out there in the second Saturday Supper. Do you know how many of those conversations I would have had if somebody didn't peel the potatoes or stick around and vacuum the floor afterwards or wash the pans downstairs that we don't even know are down there? See, how many of those conversations would I have had? How many chances would have been lost? And I know it's a fundraiser. It's a good fundraiser. But without people doing things behind the scenes that never get heard of, those kind of opportunities get lost. The spiritual things get lost too. Giving. Joyfully. Because we want to. I want to do this. This is something I can do. This is something I can do. I want to do this. That's what impresses God. They not, wow, somebody gave $1,500 to Hades. Haiti. Cool. Well, we did, almost. Maybe we will yet today. I mean, we'll accept your money yet today. We might have gave $1,500. We don't know yet. Too early to tell. Okay. Yeah. And God is just as impressed by that if our heart is right, because we didn't have to raise any money for Haiti, did we? Don't we have enough projects going on around here? Lord have mercy, I can't keep track of them all. I can't. I have to write them all down, and then sometimes I miss them. We got stuff going on all the time. We don't need another one. But we get to have another one. We get to look around and find somebody. The food bank. Wow. What are we going to do? Well, let's send a check. Okay. Then I get this text message, this email. Rat! We have a chance to get some food boxes. Really? Give them out to whoever we want to give them out to? What do you think we ought to do? Oh, that's too much work. Let's not do that. Somebody's got to drive around and deliver them and blah, blah, gas money. And, you know, gas is $2.75. You see that gas is $2.75? Okay. No, grab as many as you can get. We'll figure out some place for them to go. And we did. 25 of them. Above and beyond. Because a couple of people, not me, said, let's do this. We can do this. See. Heart. Now, all that thought, the widow gave all that she had. That thought. And then let's move over here. Like that. Ouch, that hurt. My peripheral vision is not as good as it used to be. Because here, we have someone else that gave their all. See, Barb and I gave a little bit this morning. We have plenty left. I'm presuming that most of you gave a little bit this morning compared to what we have left. Maybe some of you gave your all. Jesus gave everything. His life. I mean, can you imagine just becoming man? No, I can't, because I've never been God. You've been God and you became man. What a sacrifice that in itself would be. But then to live, to suffer, to die, not for his own sin, but for my sin. That's why Jesus, when he saw that widow, said, look at this. Someone that gave all. Because in a couple of days, Jesus was going to give it all. Spirit, soul, and body. He was going to give it all for me. For me. And so then he said, in a couple of days at the Last Supper, this kind of bread that when we're talking a loaf of bread, this is what we're using because this is what he would have similar to this. Take this, okay, and everybody tore off a little piece. Take this in remembrance of me. We're going to have you do that. And then he passed the cup around after supper and said, drink this. This is the blood of the new covenant. Drink this in remembrance of me. And so as the choir has sang this morning, think of me. Think of me. And so we're going to have, this morning we're going to pass out both elements first before we partake, so that you have both elements with you. So when you get the bread, hold on to it. We're going to pass the cup out, hold on to it, and then we will partake. Ushers, if you'll come. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Father, we thank you for this opportunity to partake of your life, your death, your resurrection, all for us on our behalf, for the forgiveness of sins and the beginning of the new covenant, which we're part of with you. Thank you that you suffered, you gave your life, because you loved us so much, you gave everything that you had for us. Bless this bread, bless this drink, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake. Is he a good Jesus or what? Do all that just for us, just for us. Joys and concerns. I know we have a concern.
Many of you know who Roger Adams is. He, by the way, is very grateful for what we have done as a church for their family. He's in need of your prayers. Again, he is suffering from lung disease, which has taken he only has about 23% of his lung capacity left. And so it's very serious. And so he can use your prayers and his family to try to, you know, maintain their just ability to exist right now is really tough. So keep him in your prayers, please.
Amen. Amen. We will do that.
To go along with Pastor Rick's sermon this morning, last Sunday we held a fundraiser at Cutters Point West for one of our employees who has breast cancer. And the Lord gave us in that day over $11,000 in donations. And I want to thank Mark, who was in attendance, got his hair cut, made a very generous donation, and we appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. I should have been there and got my hair cut. You guys are now in charge of all of our fundraisers, by the way. You did really good.
Hi, I just wanted to update the congregation on Lucille. Nada and I went to see her this last Tuesday, and she is not doing well. She's non-communicative other than a smile. She isn't eating well, and her friend Betty was taking her to the doctor because she's in a severe pain from her fall. So we don't know yet what the outcome is of that. Also, Barb Quackenbush is right in bed, but she's very alert and eating, so she's still hanging in there. So we need Amen. They need our prayers.
Amen. Amen. And Eugene, your wife, how's she doing?
Shirley says good morning, and she's doing well. The surgery went well Friday, and she's on some pain medication, but she's doing well, and she should be back next Sunday.
Okay, very good. She's home? She's home. Okay. Maybe she's on pain meds. Maybe I should go see her. My wife gets very talkative on pain meds.
I know that Coase goes and visits so many people, and we thank her for that, praying for them. And she took Nada along, and they both sang Lucille a hymn and just cheered her up, even though she wasn't responsive on Monday. But we ate with Bruce Potter last night. He's doing well after last Monday's chemotherapy. Keeps getting harder as it goes along, but that's how it works best, so we kind of know that. But he actually heard about how badly Lucille was doing and went out there and saw her. And they had just changed her pain, her maybe not her pain medicine, but all of her medications that she was on. And so when he went to see her on, was it Thursday, she was talking away. Oh, she was so much better. And so I wanted to let you know that she was even asking about Buster, Bruce's dog. And, you know, she's talking away, such a change. So wanted to give you that good update.
Amen, yeah. See, keep praying. We never quit praying.
Many of you remember Reverend John Metcalf, who was our interim here after Dave Banfield left, so that would be about 4 years ago. Kim and I ran into him, he and his wife, last night at Olga's in the mall, and he recognized me, but it's one of those, where do I know her from? You know, so I quickly put him out of his misery and told him who I was. But he was just real glad to hear all the good things that are going on at Mayflower. And he said, you know, just tell them that I love that church. And okay. And he did. And it's kind of a common thread, I think. All the ministers who come here say the same thing, which is great. So anyway, he asked me to say hello for you. And I also, in case you didn't see it in the bulletin, David Banfield's mother died, and the service was yesterday. Send cards and notes. I know he'd appreciate it.
Amen.
I just want to take this opportunity to thank the folks that brought 21 boxes of food to Riverview Mobile Home Estates. One endearing factor with all of this is I wasn't sure how we were going to get this distributed, because there were 21 boxes and several more people that needed it. But I walked with the van. But before that, I went around and asked if there were people that would help. And we had 10 young people come out, and there were 4 or 5 adults that came and helped, and really appreciate Mark and Nola's effort. Yeah. They were grateful.
Yeah, that was great.
That was great. And I got the email. Did you send the email to a lot of people about the results of the food bank, Mark? Or I need to... Maybe next week in my email I send out, I'll stick that in there. The food drop just did fabulous. Lots of caring people giving lots of food, raised far more money than they were looking for to feed, you know, just feed tons of people. So, and we're a part of that. Our little church is a part of that, and that's cool.
Just prayers as I start a temp job tomorrow.
Start a temp job tomorrow.
In accounting.
Ooh, lots of prayers. A real job, yeah. Ooh.
Just a follow-up like Lola did on Lucille, on John Metcalf. You know, John had some health concerns right toward the end of his interim ministry here, and did well with that. Well, Dave and I just learned the other week, John's playing tennis, and he's an avid
Good.
Tennis player now.
Good. Amen.
Good for him. All right. I understand that. Okay. Yes. In Eaton Rapids. Okay. Yeah, Eaton Rapids Congregational Church is where John is now. As I think he's an intern, but he's been there for lots of years. So. Just like me. Wow. It's because of John that I'm here. You know, so there's a connection there. Well, good.
Good. You didn't cuss him out. That's good. That's good. What you send us that dude for? Anyway, yeah. God is good. We're out of time. Let's pray. Thank you for being here. Not only do I appreciate you, I appreciate all that you do. As I look around, I mean, you're all involved in so much. It amazes me day by day, everything God has our little church doing. And one of these days, we're not going to be a little church anymore. I'm going to have to quit saying that. But right now, where we are, and the love and caring that you have for people is just amazing. Just amazing. It's just, you're just wonderful people. You just are. I'm thrilled to be here, be a part of it. Father, thank you. Thanks for the privilege of letting me be here. These are a great bunch, just a great bunch. And together, may we all be a great bunch for the kingdom of God. As we look beyond our four walls and reach out and touch, and you continue to use us in all these different areas. Lord, we lift up all the prayer requests to you, the ones that have been voiced, the ones in our hearts, the ones in our prayer box, the ones that ought to be in our prayer box, that you will undertake according to your perfect will. We do not pretend to understand it, but you know. And we pray that your will be done. You help, you encourage, you heal, you just pour your blessings upon. Don't even know, but you know. And thanks for letting us be a part of your kingdom and a part of praying, a part of fellowship with you. And you want fellowship with us. You are an amazing God. You're just amazing. And thus you taught us to pray what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn.